Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I remember as a kid that Harvester was like the greatest thing, the salad bar. It was like the did not extend past a Harvester until you actually then went somewhere else and you were like, oh my God, this Harvester shit.
You've
like,
never been to a Harvester.
I used to go to a Harvester every weekend. You don't
Mr.
get this
Berkshire.
Big without a free salad bar. Imagine how much money my parents
Mr. Wellington
paying.
Berkshire.
My name is James Haskell.
I'm Chloe Madeley.
And welcome to episode 6 of Couples Quarantine. Now, we are joined by our first actual celebrity couple. I mean, nobody else replied. They did, which is always a great start. Jamie Lang and Sophie Habu, how are you?
Yeah, but firstly, that's bullshit because, listen, I wasn't going to reply. And then I felt like I had to, James, because you did my podcast. I was like, I can't. I have to reply.
Tit for tat. I feel like you two have a bit of a bromance going on, so if we need to catch up with that.
Watch out, guys.
I quite like Sophie. She's already done him in the eye about 5 times. The podcast hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, this is what we want, though. So, how are you guys, first of all?
Yeah, we're good.
We're sweet. Yeah, we're hanging out. We've just moved into a new flat, which is really nice. We have aircon, guys. We've got aircon in the flat, which is, very posh.
That's
of
a
us.
Luxury for the UK.
We've got a lot of luxury going on in here.
Aircon does really make a difference, though.
Yeah, it does.
Well, that's the most like middle class sentence ever. It's like, just to let you know, air conditioning actually does really make a difference.
I can't move into a new flat if it doesn't
I love
aircon.
That. Wait, and who says reality TV doesn't pay? It's unbelievable.
Listen, Sophie thought that our last... So we lived in this one-bedroom place together, and Sophie was convinced that it was haunted, and that's the reason why she wasn't sleeping. So she was literally like, it was haunted.
How did this haunting manifest itself?
I had terrible dreams every single night. I'm not joking, like haunting dreams. Move out of there. Not had one.
Dreams about cheating on me. That's the haunting dream.
Wait, you
cheating on him or him cheating on you?
Yeah. She cheating on me.
Oh, yeah, that's enjoyable. All of his friends.
Oh, excellent. Can I just ask, did the ghost look like a small, pale bloke with a very thin lid that used to just appear in between the sheets next to you and always try and, like, do bits while you're asleep? Because I think I may have solved that mystery, and I think the ghost may follow you to your new house. I don't want to say.
Speaking of lids, look at Haskell's lid.
See through. Oh, Silas from Da Vinci Code.
I feel like both of us. So we just went away for a couple of weeks, and I feel like we are the brownest and blondest we've ever been. And now we have these two on the podcast. We look like we're running.
Are you guys sunbathers
only.
Are you guys sunbathers on holiday? Do you sunbathe and relax, or do you kind of get up and do things?
Yeah, I am. I like to sleep in late. James wakes me up for breakfast every morning at like stupid o'clock. And I'm like, no. I get up at 6 a.m. every day in the UK. Like, you have to let me sleep. But he forces me to get up. We go down for breakfast. And then I just want to lie there all day and do nothing. And any excuse that he has to run off and ditch me for all of his friends, he takes. I've stopped fighting him on it now. I'm like, fine, just go. I'm going to read.
Wait, hang on. James, do you make friends on holiday?
Yes,
he finds friends wherever we go. He's like, oh, my friends are here. I'm like, how the hell do you even know this?
Okay, well, there's 2 points. Firstly, we're interviewing you two, so that you dare hijack the show. Secondly, let's be very clear, right? We're not Monica and Chandler from Friends. We don't have holiday buddies that we get to hang up with. Anybody who sees me have to put up with what I have to put up with my wife's chat will know that I will try to escape at all costs. I make friends with the pool attendant, the binman, and anybody to get out of it. I will literally...
Cocktail waitress.
Fit cocktail waitresses.
Female lifeguard.
you will never have listened to any of this crap that we've been putting out there, but essentially, episode 5... Chloe and I had an argument on holiday. She was pissing me off. It's a long story, but I basically had some friends already on the island, and I decided to go off with them as opposed to go to dinner with her. Sophie's given me, like, fully...
Wow. Yeah. I sat by the pool. I drank copious frozen margaritas, got on my WhatsApp group with my girls and just bitched about him till he rolled up drunk at 2 a.m.
See, that's the way to do it. Can I also, because I have looked at a little clip and I found this hilarious. James, what is this book that you have given people that teaches cunnilingus? What is this?
What's cunnilingus?
She's never had it, so she doesn't know.
Yeah, Sophie, I was about to say, if you're asking, love, you don't, you know, he's obviously not supplying it, and you need to learn, because that is.
What is cunnilingus?
It's another airline, like Aer Lingus.
It's way more fun, and you get, but you don't get any air miles, but you really should.
So your boyfriend means. Oh wait, I actually want to ask you about this, but anyway, going down on a girl. But I actually think cunnilingus is specific to the anal region.
No, that's anal.
What, like going down in the anal region?
No. Right, let me
rimming,
just explain.
For want of a better word.
Welcome to James Hassan and Chloe Maylie's sex lectures. What we're going to explain is what your lovely partner is trying to insinuate is that I once read a book when I was younger. I was recommended it, called She Comes First, and it's a book on oral sex, men upgrading their skills to the point where I'm actually a teacher. I did, you know, like in karate they have black belts. I was like a black belt, and then I got my 10th dan, and now I'm a grandmaster. And basically I recommended this book,
his own feedback to himself.
Well, you say that, but you know, I have conventions and all the girls come up and cheer my name. And obviously I told a few people about this book, and genuinely some teammates in New Zealand who are probably even more shy about than us about, you know, coming forward with oral sex and bits and pieces. Came up in conversation. I said, read this book. And their wives came up and were like, thank you. Thank you so much.
This did not happen.
On my life.
This is James's PR campaign for his penis, but you're married, so sit down. No.
But basically, Sophie, from the sounds of it, your partner desperately needs this. Jamie needs it. I don't imagine he's got a great skill set anyway, looking at him. So, I mean, I'd probably be with him for the air conditioning, is what I would put out there as the reason I would stick with him. But the reason.
Okay, you know what? This has been a fantastic intro in and of itself. But I actually really want to intro you both, because I actually have loads of questions off the back of it, and I need you to fill in the gaps, because Wikipedia is just a hole of hell. Okay, right. So for everyone who doesn't know, Jamie and Sophie, both of you were on Made in Chelsea, weren't you? Mm-hmm. But you did different series, did you not? Or like, I'm confused by this.
So I'm a lot older than, I know I look younger. People say that. People do say that we
He's
look
like the veteran of.
I'm not the veteran. It's not the veteran. I stayed on it a lot longer than you. So I started about 10 years ago. So yeah, it's been going for 10 years. Sophie started.
It's been going longer, but you stuck it out for 10 whole years.
No, it's been going 10 years. That's what it's been going 10 years. I've been on it for 10 years. I just missed the first series.
Are you still on it now? Because I thought you were done with it. But then I feel like a lot of your castmates say that they're done, and then they're not done.
Well, listen, what's done?
Jamie's never even pretended he's done. He will be there when he is
till the bitter end.
Sophie, I'm sensing a bit of like tension. Would you prefer he wasn't on to stop doing it? Has he made a few promises like, babe, this is the last time I'm going to do it? And as soon as they call up and he's like, how much are they going to pay
many,
me? Yes, I'll do it. Oh, really?
Many times. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
No, he just, he definitely will stick it out till the end. You'll see all the different age groups come in and go, and he'll always be there.
The thing is that what I like to call, I'm persistent, and I think that's key in life. And I think people aren't persistent. I'm a hard worker and persistent.
That's one way to do it.
It is.
Tenacious.
And I've stuck it out for about 10 years. And then Sophie and I were friends for about 2 years, and then we started dating after that. But we didn't date on the sort of TV show like most people do. We were secretly dating behind the scenes, so we didn't tell anyone about it because I was a little bit embarrassed. She was obviously punching.
I was mortified.
Yeah, she was obviously.
She was like, please, can I just put you on my Instagram? I was like, no.
I do not want anyone to know yet. On that roundabout of riffraff.
But it was one of those things that, like, you know, we kind of kept it quiet for a while, and then it slowly came out, and because people a bit upset about it because our friends are dating and things like that, and so it was.
You didn't even ask to go this deep.
Sorry,
into it,
I just
know?
Well, I gave them a little bit more.
Oh no, I love it! I love it because this is what I want. Because I've got some friends who either have done it or are still on it, and the ones who are in relationships, actually, I've known them throughout various relationships, say that it is really bloody hard on your relationship, and as soon as the producers find out, it is like a waiting game of how much drama they're going to throw your way. So I wanted to ask you, like, have you found it difficult on your relationship relationship? And if so, how do you handle it behind closed doors and then kind of armor up when you go into filming? Like, do you have a strategy?
Do you know, I think both of us are quite like hot-headed and neither of us sort of plan anything. So anything that's happened on the show has happened without any pre-warning. And, you know, there's definitely, if I could like plan it and go out with like a strong armor on, I would, but I definitely didn't.
Okay, listen, James, can I ask you a question? Okay, yes. Here we go. If you're dating someone, you're dating someone, right? You're just dating. That's all it is.
Sleeping with them.
No,
so.
Okay, you're sleeping. It doesn't matter. You're dating someone. You're not going out. You're dating.
You're not going to win this battle.
Well, watch me. You're just dating someone, okay? Yeah. And you then sleep with someone else while just dating that person. You're not going out. You're just dating. Is that wrong?
Right. Well, first of all, have you had a conversation? Have you had any kind of contact between?
He had already said he loved me. So.
Well, is he practically or had he? Because I'll be honest with you. I know to look at me, you wouldn't imagine that I had much of a single past. Oh, and obviously, please. I've only had eyes for my beautiful wife for the last 6 years.
Mister, I used to give out books on going down on girls, and all these wives would throw themselves in
the
pee.
They got the book after I'd gone down on them, signed. Oh, it was just you're welcome on it.
For your next partner,
because obviously sometimes it's like you know, if you only ever eaten in a Harvester and then you go to Nobu and you go, oh my god, I can never eat anywhere else again. It's a bit like with me. I had to give them the book because they were never going to reach their Everest again. Everyone has to reach base camp. But anyway, enough about me. More about you.
I love how you pulled up Harvester as well.
Yeah, Harvester. Because do you remember as a kid? That Harvester was like the greatest thing, the salad bar. It was like the world did not extend past a Harvester until you actually then went somewhere else and you were like, oh my god, this Harvester shit.
You've never been to a Harvester.
I used to go to a Harvester every weekend. You don't
Mr.
get this
Berkshire.
Big without a free salad bar. Imagine how much money my parents
would
spend.
The Wellington Berkshire would go to Harvester on the weekend.
I used to go to the Happy Eater. That was
Happy Eater. Beef Eater.
Sophie's too young for the Happy Eater. Yeah, she doesn't know
what
it is.
I don't know what the Happy Eater is.
Harvester is.
Weirdly enough, that was my going down nickname, the Happy Eater.
Good tie-in, well done.
That was my brand. Sorry. Oh, God. Anyway, what I was trying to say was, I obviously fallen foul of this situation, but I think I wanted to do a whole show on this, but it's actually quite an interesting one. Is that sometimes when you slept with people, men are terrible at being honest, and it's something I've learned with being with my wife, that actually a lot of times when people date girls or whatever, or especially for my situations, if I dated someone and say, for example, the chemistry wasn't there, the sex wasn't great, if I just fronted up next day and called them up and said, listen, I had a really nice time, but I just don't think the chemistry was right, or I don't think, you know, that the sex was, we didn't feel like we're compatible, you know, but you're a lovely girl, and just left it, that would be way better than doing what I'd done, which is like ghost people, not talk to people and everything else. I think also what I used to do is I used to be very honest. So if I was seeing a girl in your situation and I actually liked her, then I would have said, look, I like you, but perhaps, you know, we're not exclusive or whatever. But if you haven't had the conversation and you've gone off and drilled a mate, then you're on pretty thin ice.
Is this what happened?
No.
Yeah. I don't know why you bring this up.
No, because it's not what happened. It's not,
we love the drama.
It's not what happened. I said to Sophie that I really liked her. James, I was like, I went out there, I said I really liked her. And Sophie denied and was like, you know what, I don't really know. I don't know, like pushing me away. All
no, it was circumstantially. I was like, look, this is quite rogue. Maybe we should just cut it in there.
She said, let's call it.
Oh, she has a moral compass. Yeah, so she was like, this could be a bit complicated. Yeah, fine.
Moral compass? There's no moral compass. She just didn't fancy me that much. That was all it was at the beginning.
That's not it.
Persistency, that's what I'm going to say. I was just persistent with it. Yeah. Anyway, she said to me she didn't want to be with me, basically. And then I went.
That night, he went, oh, right, well, can't wait.
This is a very Ross from Friends situation. I do think this.
We were on a break.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, Soph, if you were the one to be like, oh, I'm not that sure, and then Jamie, you went and banged someone else, then, like, okay, that's kind of fair-ish. Unless this was, like, a little bit of, like, a temporary blip and you guys were already kind of off to the races in terms of being in a relationship, in which case you could have waited a week, mate.
Yeah, you didn't. And then we were back together the next morning. And I was like, why are your bed sheets off?
But how long until you told her? Because I feel like I could forgive James for a multitude of things, but it's the lying that I can't abide. Like, I need the truth. So how long till you were truthful?
I said lying. We had this conversation the other day. I think lying's just not okay in a relationship.
If you're mature, right, you can be like, shit happens. Like, we're all human, and especially for you guys, and I think if initially in the beginning for us, like, when, you know, you have the work and the jobs that we have and, you know, what goes with it, it, like, shit happens, and you have to kind of figure it out as you go and be quite forgiving. But, like, I can't be the only person in a room that doesn't know the situation, or I can't sit there opposite someone who's meant to love me and be lied to, like, over and over and over again and then forgive them. So that, to me, is the thing. So how, were you honest?
Yeah, that was the thing with Sophra. It wasn't so much about the sleeping with someone else or anything like that. It was more about the fact that she didn't know. Mm-hmm. I had never told her about it. This kind of thing which I realized from that is that I sort of had been in relationships in the past or dated people in the past where I'd kind of gone around it. I was younger, whatever, and said whatever I had to say to get out of it. With Sophie, it wasn't like that. It was, you be honest or I'm gone. Yeah. And it was the first time I'd ever been in a relationship where suddenly I had lost the person that I really liked. And at that point, I really liked you.
At that point, I suppose now.
Yeah, at that point, I thought you were brilliant.
Yeah. It's like, geez,
now that I've lived with her, Jesus, aircon, let's get aircon. Oh my God.
Like, oh my gosh, with the ghosts and the aircon.
Yeah. I love it. There's a ghost, it's aircon. But what I realised is that, like I said, I'd always been able to sort of worm my way back in, somehow said something or whatever. With Sophie, it was just that it was gone. And I was like, wow, actually, this person, and it's boundaries. I knew what there were boundaries straight from the beginning. If you, you can go out, you can have fun, you can do whatever you want, you can party with your friends, you don't have to, you can see me whenever. But as long as you're honest and truthful and treat me with respect, that's all I care about. And that was from the very beginning. And so I learned a pretty strong lesson early on that there was this line, and if you cross it, then she's gone.
But that's good, though. Like, it's really important early doors. Sometimes you have to go through that shit to draw the boundaries, to find out what they are, and then you know how to continue on in the relationship. Like, we did. We had so many ups and downs and issues, and if we hadn't had them earlier on, I don't think we ever would have got
until
married.
Until we got you medicated and a bloke with a high-powered rifle to take you out at any, if you had one of your moments. I'll be honest with you, it's interesting going back to what you said about, I think, as well as expectation, because I think, I'm not wrong or right in saying this, women are more emotional animals, you know. Is it you know, you had a break and you went and acted straight away? That's a very man thing to do, you know, like the whole, you know, Chloe mentioned Ross from Friends, that he goes, we were on a break, even though it was like, you know, one day, there were a couple of hours, you went ahead and did something. I think that's like quite a male thing to do. Yeah. I'm interested to see what our listeners think about that, because women, you know, I said to Chloe, you know, if I was to die, how long would you wait? You know, would you mourn me? And she was like, oh, you know, probably 6 months. And she was like, what happens if I died? I'm like, well, I'd be quite upset for like 30 minutes and then I'd probably move on quite quickly.
I think men and women are very different like this. And I do, of course, I know women who really enjoy promiscuous sex. But the amount of men I know who enjoy promiscuous sex versus women, I mean, it's like an avalanche in numbers. And I think we are just built differently. But ultimately, like, you guys seem great now. You've got your air-conditioned flat. You've, made it through.
Can't the other side.
Oh, yeah. But it's interesting, Chloe, that you say that about... So it's interesting with, like, guy. There's, like, statistically, right, supposedly... guys fall in love with someone after 2 dates. So they basically, that's why guys at the beginning go, oh my God, I love you, I love you, I love you, like this. And they go in full blast straight away. And actually it takes women, supposedly, stereotypically, again, 15 dates or whatever you want to get metaphorically to fall in love. And that's why with guys, what happens is that, especially when they're much younger and they haven't really, they're just sort of coming out or doing whatever, they very much fall in love and then go, okay, done, fall in love, oh my God, done. And it's like jumping from one to the next, where women don't have that. They sort of actually emotionally attach themselves and it takes a lot longer. And that's supposedly why guys jump around a lot more. Also, just guys, for guys, I don't always think it's about sex, but also I think there's an element of like ego. For some reason, we grew up with this playboy attitude that if you're a playboy and you sleep around, it's kind of cool and you're respected and all these different things. And that doesn't really disappear until you actually realize that you actually look like a bit of a bellend if you're still doing it in your 30s.
I love that you've had that realization. I feel like you guys are really growing.
I feel like I'm growing just now.
We're not remotely ahead of you.
No, I had a conversation with a mate of mine, actually. Who was old, and I said to him, you know, I think a lot of men lie to themselves potentially and try to admit that the desire to like
you know, have sex and everything else like that, and women as well. You know, for Chloe and I, we talked about it. You know, when we're in a relationship, Chloe says, you know, she suppresses looking at other people. She's content with what you have. I was talking to some men who were either married or not married, and they were like, but you just never want, you never stop wanting to sleep with girls. You never stop. I said, but it the point is that it's an animalistic instinct. It never stops. But the thing with it is that you've got to be comfortable and happy with what you've got, and have to understand that it's like an innate thing in the back of your head, and it's a never ending situation. But a lot of people who get caught in that trap are thinking, well, you know, it's like a numbers game. I remember when I was younger, it was a lot of stuff I did was just to be able to come into the change room and tell the lads, I've done this mad thing, I've done this mad thing. And it wasn't even that fulfilling. It was just kind of quite, you know, just doing it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah, I'd say, so what you're saying is that you just settle. Yeah, so I'm just settling. That's it. So I've just
suppress
settled.
Suppress it to death and then settle down.
But it's interesting. Soph and I have the same thing. You know, I think there's a lot of relationships out there where some good-looking guy walks in or a good-looking girl walks in, and so you're not meant to look at them. You're meant to sort of turn away. And Soph and I very much have this thing, isn't it true, that if some good-looking guy or good-looking girl walks in, you'll say, he's hot, or I'll say she's hot, or whatever like that, because it allows it to be a bit more real. You can accept that someone's good looking, but it's this sort of attitude towards it. And I do, I have a lot of guys who still kind of, I suppose, guy friends who look out there, but I couldn't be more content in a relationship than I've ever been. I think it's just because you find your buddy that you want to be with, and that's what it is. Am I being too cheesy for you? Is that what it is? Yeah, I am.
No, I don't think it's cheating. I think it's learned behavior. I think, look, we're not stupid. There are good looking or like sexy people all around every day. They're a dime a dozen. Like, you know, either of you, and same for us, could probably go on holiday or like walk into a bar or walk into a club and go home with someone, right? Like it could easily happen. But ultimately, I think, I don't know. I don't want to speak for all women. Like Sophie, maybe you can tell me what you think about this, but I'm very good at kind of when I'm in a relationship, I compartmentalize. So I'm married and that's it. And I don't look around and I don't think, oh my God, that guy's so fit. I wish I could fuck him. Oh my God. And then like live in hell. But I think men find it a lot harder. Like a hot woman will come in and they're a lot more frequently found than men, let's be honest. And I think men are like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I want to fuck her and I can't fuck her. I'm in a relationship. Oh my God, oh my God. And they get themselves into this tears and it's like, just relax. There's a fit girl. Look at her, appreciate it and crack on because you're taken. But I don't know. Soph, what do you think? Do you feel like it's easier for women to kind of accept that and kind of crack on and men struggle, or how do you see it?
Well, I don't know. I probably look at girls more than I look at boys, so I probably agree with you. I'm always like, God, that girl's so fit. I mean, it is true, there isn't that many fit boys strolling around the streets, but there is a lot of fit girls. Yeah. But I'm so the same, like, if I'm in a relationship, that's it. Like, it just wouldn't even really cross my mind. There's no desire to sort of, like, go and sleep with somebody. But I don't know whether that comes down to, like, us just inherently as women being so different, like our sex drive so much, like I don't know whether it's like a mental
thing. I don't buy that. I think my sex drive has always been higher in my relationships than any of my partners. I don't buy it. I just think we're good at accepting that shit is how it is and getting on with it, and men always want to like fight the status quo or whatever.
Boys like they're more fight or flight. Is that a thing?
I've read 100%.
That somewhere. Like us girls can like rationally think about something, whereas a boy's like, oh my God, my penis is saying this or feeling this. I've got to go do it. Oh my God, but I can't do it. I'm not meant to do it. Whereas we're just like,
okay, I'll be honest with you. So Chloe, so I always think, well, first of all, I think Sophie's exactly right. The animalistic instinct thing of, and we talked about it before with Chloe and men sending dick pics online to girls and everything else. Because when it gets on like an animalistic instinct, is that you can tell there's a bloke sitting at home and he's got so horned up, he can't think straight, and he thinks the best thing I'm going to do is send a dick pic. But you then have that rational epiphany, just as your orgasm, where you're like, oh my God, what have I done? What have I done?
James
I'm the worst
calls
person
it post-cum hatred.
Yeah, it's his thing. It's PCH. People who listen to this will know about PCH. Lads, it's a awesome. Very real thing.
This is Couples Quarantine.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Couples Quarantine. Now, I know Chloe, you've been snooping around and actually worked out a little bit about what's going on today, but this episode is sponsored by Athletic Greens, a comprehensive nutritional beverage.
Yeah, with so many stresses in life, it can be really difficult to get in enough fruit and veg, aka micronutrients that our bodies really need. But this is where Athletic Greens can help you out. Their daily all-in-one greens powder is easily added to your day-to-day life with zero worry or fuss.
Do you know what? It's actually really tasty, because some green supplements are a little bit ugh, but Athletic Greens does an awesome job packing in 75 vitamins, minerals, and a whole food source ingredients, including multivitamins, minerals, probiotics, green superfoods. I know I sound like an absolute keto scientist here, but of course I read the boxes. It was my daily reading for the day. It also increases energy and focus and aids with digestion and supports a healthy immune system, all without the need, I won't believe this, to take multiple products.
Athletic Greens is one formula based on the latest research, investing in absorbable and natural sources of each ingredient and going above and beyond in third-party testing to ensure that their customers receive the highest quality supplement.
It's lifestyle friendly whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free or gluten-free, no thanks, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar without compromising on taste. And I've tried this and I agree. I give it my Haskell seal of approval.
So right now, Athletic Greens will support your immune system during the winter months, and they're offering our audience a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit the link today. You'll basically never have to buy vitamin D again.
Sorry, did you say a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs?
Yes.
Can I claim that?
I'm sure you can.
I know it's insider trading, but all you have to do to win this incredible prize is simply visit athleticgreens.com/couples and join health experts, Chloe, athletes, me, and health conscious go-getters around the world to make a daily commitment to their health every day. Again, for the Slow Reader group, simply visit athleticgreens.com/couples and get your free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs.
This is Couples Quarantine.
But it's interesting, I think, as well, there's a lot of double standards around looking at girls, because, you know, Chloe, we have a similar situation to you. You know, there's no point pretending that fit people don't exist, both men and women. I look at good looking men. I'm very equal. If someone's, I mean, basically look at anybody. Normally, if there's something odd going on, I'll be like this.
James was flirting with this guy in an ice cream shop the other day, and then on the way back he was drunk. On the way back he was like, "That sexy little man that worked in the ice cream shop." I was like, "Babe, you're very sexually fluid." He was like, "No, but you have to admit, he's
okay,
sexy."
Okay, so I tell the full story. So
sexy little man.
We were in Greece.
He was tiny and he was gorgeous.
We were in Greece. Right, I walked into an ice cream. We walked into an ice cream park, and there was like mountains of homemade ice cream. First of all, they had like, you know, 2 scoops, 3 scoops, or like a real fat person 4 scoop system, and I went, "Chloe, how many do you want?" She'd had a few wines. She went, "I have 4 the bloke had to go to the back to get the fat people cones. He was like, "I don't have any," right? And he honestly went back, got a shovel, filled in these 4 scoops of this ice cream, right? Chloe's sitting there melting all over the place, and I went to him absent-minded. I went, "Well, mate, to be honest with you, you're in pretty good shape for someone who works in an ice cream parlour."
James fully cracked onto me. He's like, "You're in fantastic shape for a young man who works in an ice cream shop."
Right? Like, and he went, "Well, actually, we, you know, it's only 6% fat," and he started telling me all about it. I was like, "Oh, fuck, I don't really care. I was just saying you could look
at it." Trying to take him home.
Anyway, so I had to have the fat person bucket too. So Chloe and I are walking fat Americans, like dripping all over the place, talking. And as I went back, I went, "That sexy little man in that ice cream parlour was really interesting." Chloe was like,
"You definitely fancy
him." Definitely fancied him. And I was like, "Look, I think David Gandy is fit as fuck, right? I think he's a beautiful man. I think Brad Pitt's a beautiful man. Tom Hardy, I think, is a beautiful man. Having had a bit of chat with him, not sure he's quite got the personality that would merge with mine. But I'm willing to."
Also, wanted to drop in the fact that he's spoken to Tom Hardy.
Yeah, exactly. Best of friends. Tom's always blowing up my phone. "Will you come around and hang out?" "No, Tom, fuck off." But anyway, there is a bit of double standards, though, because, you know, Chloe will say things like, a bloke will walk past, and Chloe would literally say something like, you would say something like, "Fuck, he's good. He's hot as fuck, that guy." Like, you know, I was like, or she won't be able to speak. She'll lose the power of speech.
Oh, that always happened. When I met Dan Carter, I was just like mute.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to
say. She met Dan Carter and we had to put wet floor signs down. It's fucking embarrassing. But I look at a girl and I just give it a quick glance, and I come back and Chloe's looking at me. She goes, "You all right?" I was like,
Yes, tied a little piece over there. And what you mean? What you mean? So now we've got a situation with you guys where Chloe will go, you know, she's...
That's like, I never care when you look at a girl. It's when he stares. Like, Sophie, do you have this? So if he looks at a girl, I don't mind. That's completely fine. When he's been looking for a solid 50 seconds, I'm
like,
stop.
What are you doing? Like, you're a predator.
Yeah, stop.
What are you, like, imagining in your head right now?
Yeah. Exactly. And then when I bring it up to him... Yeah. And then he goes... I'm just going to be really clear for you so you know, Chloe, and so you understand how men work, because no men will tell you the truth, but I'll tell you the truth. I'm like, joy, here it comes from my loving husband. He's like, I want to fuck every fit girl that I see. There we go, I said it. Get over it. I was like, God, I'm so close to divorce right now. But then I sat... it's ridiculous. But then I sat and absorbed it, and I thought, well, yeah, that's how men think. Yeah. I mean, it just is, and I wish it wasn't.
The moral
true,
of the story is the truth wins. So,
I'm going to clap that.
Like a hater around your head.
So, what happened? Sophie, the other day we were sitting in this restaurant in Notting Hill, and this good looking guy comes over and he sort of sits down. He's like, he like sort of squats down next to me and he's talking to one of our friends. I'm sort of looking at him this. I turn around and look at Sophie. Sophie's flirting with him. Like, she's obviously, she's doing this weird thing that I have never seen her do to me. She's pushed her boobs out.
No,
she's playing with her hair.
No.
You did.
Honestly,
you did.
Again, animal instinct. I didn't know what I was doing. I suddenly looked down and I was like, oh, what am I doing? Why are my boobs so far out?
Tits and teeth.
Couldn't believe it.
I've seen Chloe. He's another stunning person.
Really? I mean, I need to go on.
Chloe can't... She can't speak, and at parties, she gets passed around like a bag of sweets. She's on more laps than a fucking chihuahua. I've never seen anything like it.
Chihuahua?
Honestly, she's like, I'm like, is that a handbag, dog? That's my wife draped over some bloke. And I'm like, oh, they're so friendly. Everyone's
one
so
thing
friendly.
I will say, this is definitely a double standard in our relationship, and I will say this. Right from the off, I've always been, like, the flirty one. Like, I'm the one who'll go out, get drunk, flirt. Like, and that, it's not a thing. I don't care. It's because I'm drunk and I just don't care. But I have to. But James has always been, like, the quite well-behaved one on the surface of things. But I will say this. If I catch him flirting, there's a handful of girls I'll let him flirt with and they know who they are. Roshi, Nat, I'll shout you all out. I love them. I trust them. They're gorgeous. I don't care. But if I catch him flirting with anyone who doesn't fall in that bracket, it is on.
Like, that is getting...
I'm so with you.
Okay, is there an argument to say that, look, you guys are... You can see by your rapport, by everything, just by, you know, not just the fact that you guys... married and things like that, but just how you are with it. You're so good with each other and comfortable. And I would like to think the same as Sophie and I. However, isn't there the sometimes when if, you know, you sat with someone, if you're in a relationship that you're kind of strong in, you respect each other and stuff like that, you are able to flirt with someone if you just sit there and you're flirting with that person because it's just a natural thing to do. Is that wrong to do?
Yes.
Not saying that I do that.
It depends on the person.
It
really depends.
Person.
Yeah, I have friends who like will sit on his lap, like jump on his shoulders while dancing around. I couldn't care. It really, but there are people who, and I think this is instinct. I don't think this is what James would call like psycho. My instinct will tell me when there's someone that I'm not comfortable with, and there's usually a reason why. And then it's a hard no. You don't, but surely you must have that too, Jamie. Like, you must be like, Sophie, I don't really care if you flirt with my best mate when we're drunk on a night out, but I do care if you flirt
with... Yeah, you
definitely
do.
Yeah, I think I was going to ask James this, actually. I think, so for me, I'm pretty laid back with everything. I don't really get upset or jealous or anything like that. I think that if Sophie was to... Thing is, I know Sophie. Sophie doesn't pay anyone attention. Like, she really doesn't. Even when... She doesn't hardly pay me attention. So she pays...
By attention, you mean flirting. I pay everyone attention.
Can I tell you something? Sophie and I, we had
great. Right,
we had sex the other night, all right? I got on top of her, and she went, ugh. And I went, sorry. sorry, and she went, oh, nothing, just get on. And she went, don't worry, get on with it.
Oh.
No, I didn't.
You did. You went,
I think I was really drunk and I wanted to go to sleep. I don't even remember this.
If she's really drunk, we can't hold it against her.
That is fucking amazing. You made the, you're fucking heavy and just get on with it. I just hurry up and come with you. For fuck's sake, you're wasting my time. I got to go to bed.
I honestly don't remember this. I think we'd been for dinner and was quite full, ready for bed. And I vaguely remember just being like, come on, let's get this over and done with.
Don't you have a story about this?
Oh, yeah. I once went on a date. There were early doors with a girl, and it was back in the day. My parents were quite sticklers for, like, you know, when I was younger, couldn't share a bedroom. You know, if they came around, I had to spare. So I think if we were having a bit of a sexual relationship, I think I used to
try and do a job in the back of my nan's Vauxhall Astra. My nan wasn't in it or driving it at the time. She died, but I was. It was my car, right? And
respecting her name.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, if my grandma, she would have been revolving in the grave like a fucking spinning top. She would have powered London for a week. The amount of magnetic electricity she would have produced. So I went out for lunch and I went to a place. May she rest in peace. Please, Dad, don't listen to this podcast. We basically went out for lunch to dinner to this pub, and I'd obviously not been on a date there before. I knew the owners. They made a big fuss of me. So everything was double. So double starters, double steak. And I finished with like a white chocolate cheesecake. I remember it now. And to say that I was like, I'd obviously had to finish all the food because A, I didn't want them to show that I was being disrespectful to them being generous. And obviously I always finish my food. So I walked out there like pretty much out of breath by the time I got to the Vauxhall Astra. And I sort of took it, you know, and this girl, I think she wore some nice lingerie at the time.
Banged in a car, his dead grandma's car. I'm going to wear
happy,
my best lingerie.
When the happy is
this.
About, fucking girls will dress up. Oh, Everest. You fucking dress up to climb Everest. You dress up to get on with a happy eater. I love how I've created this character. I'm shitting, man. I've got a tiny penis. And so anyway, I pulled up to a secluded lay-by, like most people do. I shone a few lights, all the dog has left. And
I was going to murder her.
I know it was, yeah. It was a bit like that. And I got into the back seat of the car. And I just sat there and I couldn't breathe. I had to sit there for an hour, like unable to move. I thought I was going to be sick. Like cheesecake was sitting just at my esophagus. I was like, this is going to be a nightmare. And needless to say, I couldn't do a job. I had to retire due to overeating. Yeah.
We had Sophie and I, one of the first times we were like sleep sharing a bed together. And I had the same thing. I have a bad tummy anyways. And we went out for dinner and I ate something pretty weird. I was like, I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. And we only had one bathroom. So I was like, I don't know what to do here. Anyway, Sophie was sort of lying in bed and she was sort of maybe sort of like half asleep at this point. I was like, oh God, I'm going to have to just go and fart outside of the bed. So we sort of were still nervous with each other. So I went to the edge of the bed and I lifted up my cheek and I went like that, like it was a snitch. Out like that. And Sophie went, what's that? And I went, what's what? And she went, what was that noise? And I went, I don't know. She went, well, what was it? I went, I don't know, it's midnight. And she goes, why is someone sweeping leaves outside?
Oh my god.
Sophie, are you sure it was a ghost? Sure it wasn't Jamie's arse?
Yeah, it was the ghost.
I love that. But you know, we had a whole episode on that.
Sweeping leaves out.
midnight.
The wind whistling through the leaves.
I was like, believed that. I never knew that it was any. I honestly still thought someone was sweeping leaves until I heard it on his podcast about a month later.
I love that, though.
It's maybe going a bit far. But talking. Again, a callback when we were talking about cunnilingus. I was talking about the fact that, you know, when you go into rimming, so the only problem with rimming is you have to get past the bum vinegar first.
That is so rank.
Like licking
that
a battery.
That is the rankest
my
thing
friend
is, I've
my
ever.
Friend Patton did something. He'll be listening to this. We're going to get him on the show, so I don't want to stitch him up. But and he patented something called the quarterback sneak, which is basically rimming. But he said that he did it in one fell motion after a girl had been wearing wet leggings, and he said it was like licking the back of a toad. And he said it was the worst thing, and that retired him. I know that one manoeuvre failed him.
My friend who's recently gone sober. I said, so how's the sex? You know, he recently become sober. He's single. Yeah. How is he? Said, oh, it's really quite awkward. I said, well, what do you mean it's quite awkward? He said, well, he calls it the rooting and tooting, because he met some girl who lived in Tooting and went back with her. And he was like, gosh, she was quite drunk. So it was all a bit weird. But I thought, okay, what I have to do is perform cunnilingus on her, because this is what you do. And every single time he's had sex, he's been hammered. She's like, this is the first time. Anyway, he went down on her and he said she had a really, really big vagina. And it was really weird. So it was like licking a canoe.
Oh, God.
And so he hasn't been able to do it since.
What
I wanted to ask you guys, because we've gone so far off topic, was firstly how.
Yeah, but the topics have been pretty.
They've been amazing. Is how did you find quarantine? Because genuinely, you actually inspired me to start doing some stuff with
Chloe. You're the reason we started doing couples quarantine.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we guys, loved... that means the world. Thank you.
Yeah,
so...
we were obsessed with you guys in lockdown. We watched all your stuff and James was like, we should do something like this. And I was like, we don't look as good as them. And he was like, fine, we'll do a podcast. No one has to watch us. But yeah, now...
Hey, listen, guys, just to big up your podcast, I have lots of friends who, you know, not only just rugby fans or friends fans of you, Chloe, like people who generally listen to it think your podcast is genius, think it's hilarious. And I was saying that I was going on it. But I think for lockdown for us, I found it okay because I think I needed a rest anyway. I think I was one of these people that are running like down a hill. And if I suddenly stopped running, I'd fall over. So I kind of realized how knackered I was. And we went to the countryside and relaxed near my mum's. But so found it pretty hard after.
Yeah, I found it quite tough. I think that I'm such a routine kind of person. Same. And I started off when we went into lockdown, I had COVID and I was I wasn't ill, but I was so tired with it. And I think because of that, the first week of my lockdown, I was so tired. I never sort of got out of it. I became like just really like lazy. My motivation, my routine completely went. And I'm not sure. I think perhaps if I was in London, I don't know. I was very lucky to be in the country. But,
I think it was more the fact that like Soph was used to that. She was used to getting up, going to the gym. You know, she quite likes the fact that she can walk outside, walk to the shop that she likes to get her food from. And, you know, she can go and see her buddies and things like that. And also, you know, like you were saying, I was quite lucky. I had podcasts to do. I quite like creating stuff. I was, you know, all these things. And so for Soph, it was all kind of new to like, you know, Soph doesn't hugely enjoy being on social media every single second of the day, like doing videos and stuff like that. She just kind of likes doing other
stuff. That's what I ended up doing.
Yeah.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It was like, what? But then the real turning moment was we were in the house and I heard this. Honestly, I thought she had been murdered in the other room. I heard this screaming and I was like, oh God, what's happened? And I ran into the next door room. Honestly, I put a cape on ready to save her. And she was crying because she couldn't get her jean shorts upside over her bum because she had put on too much weight. And honestly, she was so upset. I was like, it's going to be okay. And she goes, look at me. Look at me.
Every girl can relate to this moment. Exactly. Every girl has a meltdown like that at some point.
And Jamie's like, honestly thought I was mental. And I was like, no, just give me 5 minutes and I'll be fine. Brace myself. And I was like, but I'd also gone down to the country with one pair of trainers thinking I was going to be back in London the next week. And we were obviously ended up being there for 9 weeks.
Yeah.
And like by the end of it, my trainers had a hole in like the toe of them and stuff. And I really struggled with not having motivation and like not having a routine.
But can I tell you what, I don't know if you guys found this, for Soph and I, you know, we were just coming up to our year anniversary, but we really kind of became buddies and we really kind of, you know, that if you want to really stand the test of time in a relationship, locked down together. And we really became really close during it. Did you guys have that or did you argue a bit?
Well, I was actually going to say that I think for some couples it's been the end, but for other couples it's really actually condensed down all the stuff you would have gone through in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years into a short period of time. And I actually think for some people it's probably highlighted whether you're with the one or not. Luckily for Chloe and me, we've always spent an inordinate amount of time together. From the first moment that I convinced Chloe to go on a date with me to 3-4 days later to us sort of starting our relationship, We've been apart when I've been on a tour playing. But other than that, we spend all the time together. So we were really comfortable.
We are historically a very close couple. Like, I think some of our friends think it's unhealthy, and I actually would agree from time to time it is, but it's just our way. We're just naturally very close people. But we're also very volatile in a relationship. So, you know, as I'm sure everyone who's listened to the podcast will have gathered, we love each other very much and we're incredibly tight knit. I feel like we're already our own family. But when we fight, it's bad. It's really bad. And so in lockdown, it was really interesting. We had some amazing kind of closeness and our relationship, I think, this is going to make everyone sick, kind of blossomed in many areas. But we also had some pretty big mega like blowouts. And this is what I was going to ask you. We fight about the same, two or three things?
Yeah.
I mean, since the beginning of our relationship.
What are those things?
Should we get a dog? It was a big one in lockdown.
Oh, we had that.
We had that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, this is what I was going to say. Do you have it as well? Is this like a thing? How long have you been together, actually?
We've been together just over a year. But do we fight over the same... Oh, look, I'll be actually honest. Jamie's pretty great. If it's going to be a fight, I sometimes have like real big mood swings where I'm just an absolute bitch.
You can be a dick.
And I know I am, and I'll snap out of it in an hour. And I wish he would just leave me. He'd note it and go, whoa, she's in one of those moods and leave me. Because then I feel so guilty because I'm like, when the hour's done, I'm out of it. I'm like, God, I really was awful.
Do you remember that?
That's what I noted.
We had a bad moment. So I was saying to Soph, Soph was actually like, I really want to get a dog. I think it could be fun. This was just before lockdown. And I'm really bad sometimes at making a decision on things. Because I kind of think in my head, I quite like my life. We don't have any responsibilities. We can go on holiday when we want. All these different things. With a dog, that adds a lot of strain and stress to it. Sophie was kind of in a situation. When Sophie gets something in her head, she wants to do it. Doesn't matter what it is, she will want to do it.
It's like a mirror of us. Sophie's like James, yeah.
And you can't change her. So we basically, long story short, we decided to look at this Dachshund, this dappled Dachshund. And I was like, I can't really relate to a Dachshund. I'm going to put that in my like pocket. What am I going to do with that?
So anyway, great late,
huh? Yeah. Anyway, Sophie was, and what I'll do is my fault is I'll say, so great idea. Why don't you go and do it? Go and have a look at it. When the time, because I think it's not going to be now. It's going to be in a couple of weeks, so I can deal with it then.
I just find it the next day. So I'm like, I've got one. Here it is. The next day I'm going to drive down and get it.
So she drove all the way to Heathfield, which is, I thought Heathfield, it was Heathfield School. I was like, it's just outside London. Wasn't it? 3-hour drive.
Where's
Brighton?
Heathfield?
Brighton, isn't it?
It was far. And I bought the bed. I bought everything. I was ready to take it home. Aww. And on the day he was like, I don't think you should do this. And I was like,
She was in the car. I put the deposit down.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was bad. That happened. So then, anyway, she got really upset and really cross about it. So she said, fine, I won't do it. That happened. We then go into lockdown. And I said, quite a good time to get a dog. She's like, Jamie, are you serious this time? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. All these different things. Spoke to my mum about it. She was like, kind of fun idea. We found this little Cavapoo. I was like, great. We did this. We started driving there. As we were about half an hour into journey, I was like, we can't do this. So we had to then turn around again and come back again. And so to the point we got back home, mum said, oh, fuck it. Do you know what? I'm going to get the dog. I'm going to go and do it. So my mum then put us back in the car, 31 years old. My mum's putting me in the car. And we drove all the way to go and pick up this dog. And what was good is that my mum's puppy, she had it, but we were looking after it. And we realised then we're not quite ready to have a dog. It is full on.
I fully agree with everything you're saying. And this was me. I was like... getting really close to being like actually excited and invested in it.
Mm.
And then the second the reality of having a dog would dawn on me, I was like, I really like my life. I don't want to do this. I like being able to travel. I deliberately got qualified in everything that I do now so I could work anywhere in the world at the drop of a hat. I haven't been able to really do it because of James's rugby career. We're finally traveling as much as I'd like to now. I was like, no, we're not doing it. But James is exactly like you, Sophie. And he's like, when he gets it in his head, like it has to happen. And if I stand in the way, oh dear Lord,
yes. Everybody
stand back. Because I'm like, as soon as I get in the way of what he wants to do, doesn't matter how impulsive it is about to blow up. And in lockdown, I think it might have been the biggest fight we've ever had, which is ridiculous because we've been through much bigger stuff than that.
What dog did you want to get?
A Rottweiler. Big. And I love them, but they're big and they require a lot of work.
Full on commitment.
Right, it's a big dog. Can I just explain something to you, right? Firstly, I think all dogs, unless you go really small, are a commitment. And I'm a big person. I'm 128 kgs. That Rottweiler to me is like a lap dog. The fact that it's a horse for Chloe is irrelevant because And also, there was also the other issues that she was concerned about. It wasn't so much about going on the holiday, was that she, the exact words were, you'll love the dog more than you love me, and you'll cuddle the dog more than you'll cuddle me.
No, give it.
I swear to God, that's exactly what I was concerned.
On. There is a reason for this situation in this conversation. James once went on a tour that lasted 2 or 3 months. I didn't see the boy for 2 or 3 months. The day that he comes back, he comes in his parents' house, so I have to meet him because it has to be whatever. I give him a hug, like I say hello, blah blah blah, we talk, and I'm like trying to take care of like my man, and I'm like, do you want anything to eat or drink? He's like, you know what, I'd like love a gin and tonic. I'm like, okay, cool. So haven't seen him in 3 months, have just spent maybe 2 minutes max with him. Go into the kitchen to get him a gin and tonic, come back, him and the dog are asleep on the sofa, and I'm like, babe, here's your gin and tonic. He's like, thanks babe. I'm like, can I? He's like, I'm just gonna hug the dog for a bit. Went to sleep for about 7 hours, didn't get up, and I was like, if that ever happens, I will die before that happens again. So that's why. But anyway, please, Jamie, you please pick up.
No wonder you're scarred.
Do you know what? But Chloe, I was the same as you. Sophie's sort of like, so in a sense, she can only, if she wants something, she's like the happy eater. If you want something, he has to go for it. He needs it. So that's the problem. So I was concerned. I was a bit like, I'm worried that you can only love one thing at one time.
Might
just start loving this dog, and then I'm going to just, you know, have no attention. And that's what happened. Even though this puppy wasn't ours, you gave it. I walked into the sitting room, okay, into this like kitchen area, and she was pulling poop out of this dog's butt because it couldn't.
It had a problem.
I couldn't believe it. Well, you've never done that. You've never gone near my arsehole.
And there you are, spreading the cheeks of our new dog.
It must be interesting because, you know, you've got the bloke brushing up the leaves outside the window, and then you've got pulling. I can't imagine. Yeah, I mean, I just before, because we've kept you guys longer than we wanted to, so we will wrap it up. But do you think, are you definitely closer, and have you learned a lot about each other and sort of techniques for dealing each other's little faults? I mean, you can't get rid of the wind, the farting out of the bedroom thing, but everything else.
I think we're definitely closer.
Yeah.
And I think, well, I don't know. I think you don't. To be fair, you are quite easy. You're quite a nice guy.
I think what it is that, you know, probably like most of us, you know, I went to boarding school from the age of 8 years old. So I'm used to living with people who come from different places, different backgrounds, different personalities, different issues, problem, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of easy with living with other people. So I think, firstly, that helped me a lot. But secondly, with Soph, it's just more that when I lost her at the very beginning, in terms of when I slept with this other person, mm-hmm. even though we were dating, and it's true, and Soph was like, I'm done. I realised, this sounds so cheesy, but I realised that a life without her was way worse than anything I could possibly imagine. Aww. It's true, though. So whatever we go through, whereas before in other relationships, we have a huge argument, I go, oh, we'll break up, see you later, oh, fuck it, I'm over this. Now, I will never say that. And if Sophie says that to me, I go, why do you threaten me with that? Because stop threatening me with that, because it's not true, you don't want to, so don't say that. And actually what I've realised is it doesn't matter what arguments you have, all those different things, you're probably going to have spats and whatever, but you kind of just get through it in the end. And you just, and also I used to play games. Now I don't, now I say how I feel. So if she pisses me off, she does something, I'll be like, look, you're pissing me off right now. Whereas before I wouldn't do that. I think that's what I learned. Just be honest with how you're feeling. Otherwise you get yourself caught up.
Oh, I love that.
I love everything you just said.
I think that's really important, actually, because I'm a bit like
spend
the other side.
Spend more time with Jamie.
I get explosive, you know, because and say things like, oh, you know, let's sack it
Sophie's,
off.
Sophie does that all the time.
But I think
you two are quite similar, actually.
Yeah,
me and Happy Eater.
couple swap. You're not in, but apart from I don't hide farting, and you're not going to pull poo out of my dog's bum. Thanks very much.
Listen, James, I don't hide it now. I don't hide it. I wake her up sometimes with this.
Fine. But I think that's really interesting, though, because I said to Chloe on our last episode, I said that, you know, people talk about leaving a relationship, and my belief, and what ties into very nicely to what we talk about at the start of that desire to just to have sex with different people, where men have to wake up, and I think everybody has to wake up, is you'd always look at your partner, is your life better with them than without them? And I, you know, I knew pretty early on, maybe, you know, a year into Chloe and our relationship, she was the one for me, but my life was always going to be better with her than without her. So yes, we spend a lot of time together. Yes, we have explosive rows, and I've probably got some growing up to do in terms of almost the reverse of what you two have gone through, throwing out stuff, because I never want to leave Chloe. I always want to be with her. I love her. She's the best thing about me, and she's made me a better person, so much so that
I obviously must have been even more of an arsehole than I am now, because friends and people will come up and go, and I have proper genuine conversations, because I went to boarding school with men the entire time. My view on women, my view on everything was very kind of, I saw women in a certain light. I didn't have any female friends. I was very much like rugby, shit chat, etc. Now I like to have genuine conversations. Say, you know, I think it's important to say that you love your wife. I think it's important to say this. And I think it's been a really kind of interesting journey, which she's helped me on. But Sophie, you just lastly, so you feel the same way, that you're much more happy now and that you're securer than ever?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think that it definitely brought us closer.
That would short answer. Give it something like sweet, like I said. You're the best. You literally. This is what this horse shit.
No, but
this
you know what? When we first asked the question, she looked at you and I saw it. It was very sweet. She looked at you and she had a big grin on her face and she went, "Oh, we definitely got much closer."
Because she's on camera.
I saw it, babe. I saw it.
So what's next for you both? Sophie, what's next for you? What are you up to at the moment?
Well, we're just sort of like settling into this new place, which is really nice because it's obviously before I moved into Jamie's house, whereas this is both of ours and we both decorated it.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, this is we're in James's house and I've got my own flat in London and I'm gonna sell it and get somewhere else. But I'm so jealous because I'm desperate, like absolutely desperate, for us to find our own property in London. We've always just had two separate properties, even though we live together and we have done for years. And I'm like, James, do you know how nice it is when you buy somewhere with a partner and then you like furnish it and you decorate it, and like it's such a lovely thing to do.
Yeah, it really
is. And you come home and you're like, oh, I love you, like it's yours.
Yeah.
So listen, I can let you guys know, I'm doing Strictly. So
I was going to ask that. That was my last question to say. Are you going to be doing Strictly Come Dancing? I saw it.
You're the first podcast I've done saying it. Yeah, so it's announced. Yeah,
oh
so
my God,
announced.
I want to come watch you. I know so many
trust
people
me, you
who
don't.
Are on
Five
show.
Hours sitting in a plastic chair. You'll die.
I don't know whether they're doing that though this year.
I don't know. I have no idea.
And they only give you donuts.
If they are, then definitely come with.
Yeah.
I mean, I will come with. Well, I mean, I'll be there with my like mini vat of Sauvignon Blanc. Babe, you're gonna smash Strictly. I'm so excited for you, Sophie. How do you feel about this? Are you excited or nervous?
I'm so excited. I'm really, really happy because he was so gutted last year. So I'm just so happy you've been given another shot.
What happened? Was it your foot that you did something to your foot?
I had this plantar fascia, James. You know, the plantar fascia ligament snapped. It's just freaking awful. What's those injections that you get?
Cortisone.
I had a cortisone injection. It healed, it didn't feel the pain, but then it just loosened it and made it weak. And then I was dancing on it for 3 weeks and just the whole thing snapped.
Yeah that happened to him.
Yeah.
Just before we wrap this up, where can they find you guys if they want to listen to your podcast on social media? Let us know.
Private Parts Podcast, go and have a listen to that. Acast, iTunes, that would be super amazing. Soph, Instagram, Sophie Habu. Lots of her in bikinis.
Oh my God, your Instagram is everything.
Yeah. I'm not allowed to look at it because apparently I got a bit
staring. You can follow her, you have permission.
I got a bit staring again. We've come a long way from
that. Happy eater got hungry.
Wait, she was like this. I was like, what are you doing? It's like, I was researching the podcast. I was definitely researching the podcast.
Please, feel free. You have permission, full permission. Just stop short of happy eating,
Chloe, can we just please just accept that James's new nickname is the happy eater.
Hashtag happy eater, I'll be like that. What are you doing, James? I'm researching Sophie again, but she was on the podcast last week. And Jamie, where can they find you?
Stop freaking everyone out.
Yeah, sorry.
No, just on Instagram as well, just Jamie Lang. Just Jamie Lang, it's fine. But go and check out our podcast as well, Private Parts. That'd be amazing. That's all I can.
We actually got through none of the listeners' questions this week, so we apologise. But if you've got questions for any of our guests or for Chloe and I, please email cqquestions@jameshaskell.org. That is cqquestions@jameshaskell.org. I'm James Haskell. It's been Jamie Lang, Sophie Abu. You've been...
Chloe.
if you like this, then please share, please subscribe, give us a rating. If it's crap, just don't bother because we don't need the confidence kicking. And we'll catch you all soon for episode 7.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.